chapter 91. We're going to look at this entire psalm this evening and see what God has for us and see maybe what we can apply to our lives today. When you think about Psalm 91, if you've been on social media any this week, you have seen many people share this and give their ideas, their viewpoints, and maybe some ideas during their troubled times that we're going through and the life that we're going through now. If you study the Psalm, Psalm 91, many people have called this or noted this to be entitled God's Inner Circle. The idea of this psalm, according to an individual named James Hastings, he wrote something like this that I think we can look at today as we study this particular psalm. It says this, "For every advance on man's part, there is an immediate and corresponding advance on God's part. When man goes out to seek God, God meets him more than halfway. When he calls upon God, God will answer him. Loving faith on man's part will be met by faithful love to the part of God." There's one particular line that I would like for you to think about this evening with what's going on in the world today. It says this, "When man goes out to seek God, God meets him more than halfway." I know this evening as we had gathered here, whether it be in person or through social media or YouTube, if you're watching it after, I am thankful that God has met me more than halfway. I'm thankful that God met me as a sinner and saved me and gave me the opportunity to live for Him and preach His Word for His honor and for His glory. When you study this psalm, you'll see that this psalm teaches us that we should seek the Lord with all of our hearts. And when we do, He will move you and He will move me into the ultimate place. There's a few things that I want you to think about this evening as we study and look at faith over fear. I began to work on this sermon a few days ago when I realized that doing Ezekiel would be fairly difficult with people who is not here or those that are here. It is difficult for some to follow in person with it on the screen, so I know it's difficult if we were not to be able to do it to gather together. But all the time that we spend doing those things, I know that Brother Barry has spent preparing the youth of services. God has a reason for us to shift things and apply the things that He wants us to preach in the life that we have today. Point number one I want you to think about this evening is faith in God. Faith in God, and it leads to the hidden life. We're going to talk about this for just a moment. Having faith in God. Psalm 91, beginning in verse 1, it reads, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler." Look in the very beginning, verse 1. The psalmist describes this place that he who dwells. The idea of that word there is to remain or to sit down. One of the greatest things we can do is to remain in the presence of God and under the Lord's leadership as we submit ourselves to Jesus Christ. This very first verse of Scripture, I think, allows us to look at a promise during this time of our life and the time of our world that we can rest assured, and it is simply this. The best possible place to ever be is with the Most High God. The best possible place to ever be is a place with the Most High God. Now, when you think about that for just a moment, when you grasp the Lord and see what God is calling you to do and the way that God is working your life, we can know and understand that when we seek the Lord, He will put us in the best possible place. And when we do that and grasp what God is calling us to do, that's what we must understand as a church this evening, whether we're in the buildings of the church or the walls of the church or if we're at home watching, the best place to be is with the Most High God. During the times of trouble, during the times of maybe uncertainty in the world today, God is sovereign and God is still on His throne. As you continue to read, where it says in verse 1, "He who dwells," and the idea there is to remain or to sit down. As you continue to read there, you'll see that what God desires to do is to place you in that secret place or to allow you to remain in that place. And the idea that's there is that God has secrets. And when you study this and understand maybe what God is trying to show us in the Scripture, it's understandable because God knows all the mysteries in the universe. But But the great news is that God loves to reveal His secrets to those who are willing to seek His face. Just as I believe that there may be a cure for this thing we're facing, I believe that's going to come when we seek the Lord and God allows us to be able to fight this thing that we're fighting today. God's place is secret, because the world cannot see it in a physical way. But in order to know God in an intimate way, in a real way, we must study God's Word and ask God to move in a mighty way. You think about what we're going to look at in a couple of weeks as we prepare for Palm Sunday on April the 5th and Easter on April the 12th. The night before Jesus Christ was crucified, He speaks in John chapter 14. And I want you to think about these four verses for a moment this evening. John 14, beginning in verse 15. It's very simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Just as maybe you were a mother and a father or a grandparent or whatever it may be, you're expecting your kids to listen to what you have put in place. You're expecting them to act right when they're sitting in church, and sometimes it doesn't quite go that way, and so the preacher yells at their daughter mid-sermon. But when you look at verse 15 for a moment, what we are to do to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ is to keep His commandments. And the two greatest commandments that are there, to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. But continue to read there in John chapter 14 with me. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever and ever. We know that is the Holy Spirit. If you've experienced God in a mighty way, the Holy Spirit has convicted you, realize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and you respond to that Comforter who we call the Holy Spirit, that even though Jesus Christ was to ascend, He was never going to leave us nor forsaken us. Even the Spirit of truth, with whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. When we think about life and what life is all about, we judge oftentimes a successful life is the amount of things, the amount of money that we accumulate in order to be able to pass on to maybe our children or grandchildren. But I'm a firm believer that when life is no more, the greatest thing that we can pass on is that we have sought the Lord's face and asked God to reveal Himself in a mighty way. And just looking at this for a moment, about God's place being a secret. It is secret because it can only be seen by faith. And Hebrews chapter 11 explains that to us in verse 1. It reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I have faith this evening on March 22nd that the things that we're facing in the world today will pass in God's timing. I have faith that the things that we're going through, and maybe the fear and some of the people who are scared and uncertain during these times, is that God is going to reveal Himself in a mighty way. But I want you to remember this, as I mentioned a moment ago. God's place may be secret, but God loves to reveal His secrets to those who seek His face. Look back at verse 1 for just a moment. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of" who? "Of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. There's no greater place for you to abide or for you to live than in the presence of God Himself. And if you believe that God is faithful, you can know that God is going to protect you and provide for you during these times. Verse 2, continue to read. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust." The question is this evening, are you trusting Jesus tonight as your refuge during this storm? Are you putting your trust in Jesus and knowing that Jesus is going to protect you? Another question may be, are you trusting Him as your protection from the enemy? I know Brother Barry posted on social media today something basically like this, that it is great to have many different services online and many people are tuning in to many different things. But one thing that he was advising, and I will advise as well, is you have to know what you believe, because everything you hear is not Bible teaching. Everything that you hear during these times may not be found in the Scripture. And so we must ask God, through the Comforter that I read for you just a moment ago out of John chapter 14, for spiritual discernment to know what is right and what is wrong. But there's two addresses that the psalmist gives us in these verses. First of all, in verse 10, he gives us his tent and or his dwelling place. We'll move down to verse 10 for just a moment, and we'll go back to verse 9. There shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. That it was going to take place at that moment, addressing-wise, that it was his home or his tent, whatever word you want to use there for just a moment. So think about that. You think about your home. For many of you sitting here this evening or watching this evening at home or wherever you may be, the safest place that many of you feel is where? Your home, and for many people, it's where else also? The church, if you're anything like me. This should be a place that we come as a body of believers and feel safe, because God is going to take care of his children. But not only the tent or the dwelling place or whatever translation you may have there, but another audience of the address there is his Lord. We've read verse 1, but move up to verse 9 of Psalm 91. Because thou hast made me the Lord. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. I want you to listen to this statement. I should have put this on the screen, because there's a lot of truth to this. The safest place in the world is a shadow. The safest place in the world is a shadow, if it is the shadow of the Almighty. Now, when you're dwelling in Jesus, obviously Jesus is going to be the light. And you standing behind the light, you're going to be in the shadow. So the safest place in the world at this moment is not necessarily your home or the church, which that's two places that you should feel safe in. But I believe the safest place in the world this evening is a shadow, if it is the shadow of the Almighty. Through Jesus Christ, we find safety. And we find satisfaction under the wings of the cherubim, the Holy of Holies. Jesus Christ himself, when he was teaching while on earth, he pictured salvation by describing chicks hiding under the wings of the mother hen. Matthew 23:37 is the reference there. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not. I believe basically that's the same thing that's happening in our world today without Jesus Christ physically standing before us. That Jesus is calling out to his followers, to his disciples, to those in the audience, saying, look, I want you to be under my wings. I want you to be around me. I want you to know that I'm going to take care for you and I'm going to provide for you. The psalmist pictured communion as believers resting under the wings of the cherubim of the tabernacle. But I want you to think about something else in this psalm this evening. There are a few names of God that are used that I think maybe you can relate to and maybe lean upon during this time. The names of God used in these verses encourage us to do what? To trust him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, most of you know this. It starts off with trust in the Lord, right? Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your paths. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, God is faithful and will take care of us. Four names I want you to think about. Two you're probably very familiar with. One and two, maybe not. But first of all, he is the Most High. He is the Most High. It's Elyon is how you would say this word. Elyon is found in verses 1 and verse 9 of Psalm 91. This is a name found first in Genesis chapter 14. And it simply says this, that the God that we serve, he is higher than the kings of the earth and the false gods of the nations. The God that we serve is higher than any government, any pharmacy, any scientist, any doctor that's out there. He is higher than any false god that we might build. We looked at that this morning when we were focusing on the God that we created rather than the God that created you and me. But the God that we serve is the Most High. And I want you to know, based on verses 1 and verse 9, that God is our refuge. Why? Because He is the Most High God. Not only is He the Most High God, He is the Almighty Shaddai. He is the Almighty. He is the one that is stronger than anything else, greater than anything else, and has dominion over all things. That because He is the Almighty, we have the ability of knowing that God, listen to this, is the all-sufficient God in every circumstance, whether we're prepared for it or we are not prepared for it. That the God that we serve is sufficient for everything that you need. That He is the Almighty One to take care of you and take care of me. In verses 2, in verse 9, and verse 14, it's simply Lord. The title that's used there is Lord. It's understanding that God is God. Now, when you think about Lord here for a moment, it's the idea of Jehovah God, the covenant-making God who is faithful to His promises. The covenant-making God who is faithful to His promises, which the Bible says, if you seek Him, you'll find Him, right? The Bible says, if you love Him, keep His commandments. The Bible says that if you love Him, you love your neighbor as yourself. As we continue to read and continue to see how God is working, He is also the Lord of the times that we're in now. And finally, keep it simple, He is God. He is God. Now when you think about that, it's Elohim. In verse 2, it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Here it is. My God, in whom will I trust? The powerful God whose greatness and glory surpasses anything that we can ever imagine. This is the same God who invites us to fellowship with Him in the Holy of Holies, to be in His presence through the bloodshed of His Son. The hidden life, living the life of faith, of worship and communion, makes possible the public life of obedience and service. Those who abide in the Lord are safe when they are doing the will of the Lord. Those who abide in the Lord are safe when they are doing the will of the Lord. Verses 5 through 13 is peace from God, the protected life. Peace from God, the protected life. When we practice the hidden life, we just mentioned that was point number one. We are not alone. Why? Because God is with us and compensates for our inadequacies. That God is faithful. God is going to provide. God is going to take care of us. These verses of Scripture, verses 5 through 13, emphasize that we not be afraid because the Lord and His people's angels are watching over us. God is watching over you and He's watching over me. Before we get into verse 5 and 6, look at 3 and 4 once more. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be the shield and buckler. In verses 3 and 4, we see that the writer begins to speak to everyone who trusts in the Lord, and he promises amazing protection from the Lord. Now, I believe in common sense. I believe that God gave us a brain to use it. Don't get me wrong. You got to make the right decisions. You can't expect God to protect you if you decide to do something crazy or off the wall. But I believe if you're faithful and you're faithful to God, that God is going to protect you. But let's walk through these verses for a moment to look at the peace from the Lord and what that means to live the protected life. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Here God tells us, He promises and comforts our fears. You shall not be afraid. Why? Because God desires to comfort your fears. If you study the Scripture, you'll find over 70 times, give or take, that the phrase is there of fear not. And when you look at this in grasp, we understand that sometimes life is scary. But the God that we serve, He desires to calm your fears. You may not be scared of this virus. You may not be scared of what's taking place. But each and every one of us probably have been scared at some point in our life, whether it's for ourselves as an individual, our family, maybe our children that are facing a surgery or upcoming days that we know that's going to be hard. And to be honest, we're just downright scared of what's going to happen. The same God that loves you, the same God that we talked about the wrath this morning, is the same God that grants and desires to grant you the peace that you need during this time. Continue to read in verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. When you study verses 7 and 8, these verses read like the description of a battle and may have a direct relationship to the covenants that God made and the promises that God made with Israel. Now, if you go back and think of what these two verses are talking about, with their own eyes, the Israelites saw the grief over the Egyptians, over their firstborn who died on that Passover night. And they also saw the Egyptian army dead on the shore of the Red Sea, yet no harm came to the people of Israel. Just as I believe God protects Israel and God continues to protect Israel, I believe as a nation we should always remain on the side of Israel, and as Christians we should always pray for Israel just like we pray for our country. It's just like this evening, that God's angel went before them to prepare their way and to lead their way. I believe that God and God's angels go before you and me every single day of our life. If we're seeking God's will, and He prepares the way and He leads the way, may we listen and obey the leadership of the Lord during the times that many people seem to be scared, because God is faithful and God desires to grant us the peace. Continue to read in verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh in thy dwelling. These are, in reality, amazing promises that I believe God granted the audience then and God will grant to us now. And no doubt that God has protected us in ways that we may not know nor could have ever imagined. But the fact is that these promises will not ultimately be fulfilled, I believe, until the believers are in heaven. That is when everything will make sense to you and to me. That is when there's no more secrets or no more things that you don't understand. And at that moment, everything that maybe you've wondered about will be answered when you're in the presence of Jesus for all eternity. Because when you study the world today, there are many Christians being persecuted for the faith. They're being persecuted and being ridiculed for what they're doing. And there are faithful believers we know suffering with serious illness right now. And those serious illnesses took place because of the mess up of Adam and Eve, which not only affected one generation, but many generations to come. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. When you study this, you'll see that Paul discusses his sufferings. The things that he went through for Jesus and the things that he faced for Jesus and the mission that Jesus had for him. I want you to listen to this for a moment in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice was I suffered a shipwreck. A night and a day I had been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, and among the false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things, or without that which cometh upon me, the care of all the churches. Paul lists some of the things that he dealt with, some of the things that he faced. One of the things I like about Paul and Pauline theology, if you study the writings of Paul, oftentimes it started off or it ended with, grace be with you, right? Grace be to you. That Paul knew his calling, that Paul knew that even though he's going to face these things, that God was going to provide and that God was going to take care of him. Look in verse 9. Let's read that through 12 once more. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep them in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Many believe that the verses 9 through 12 here, this psalm generally applies to those who trust in the Lord, but it looks forward to the Savior in a special way. And we can see it looking forward in multiple ways this evening. The example is in these verses, and I would like for you to look at that this evening with me. The first time that most people hear these words is not in Psalms, or the last time they'll hear it is not in Psalm 91, but in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus was tempted by the devil. Matthew 4, beginning in verse 5, then the devil, taking him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time, listen to this, thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now when you study this, this psalm may have been written by Moses. Some believe it to be Moses. Regardless of who wrote it, I want you to think about this. It was probably written some 1,500 years prior to the birth of Jesus Christ. But here it is, all through the Old Testament, God was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. Continue to read in Psalm 91. That's example number one. But let's look at example number two of the looking at the Savior in a special way. Verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under the feet. Now let's be honest. That's probably like talking about you and me this evening, right? We're probably not facing a dragon or whatever it may be or what's happening. The question may be, is it you? Probably not. But listen to what the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Even though Satan is trying to do everything he can do to make us fall, to make us fail, understand simply this, that God is a God of peace and God desires for his grace to be with you and for me. Example number two, move to verse 14 to look at example number three. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Looking back in verse 14 of Psalm 91, just for a moment. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Here in Psalm 91:14, we see a special link regarding the name of God. The latter part of that verse says this, I will set him on high because he has known my name. Where else through Scripture can this phrase be found or maybe a reference to it? John chapter 17, beginning in verse 5, it reads, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the Lord was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Psalm 91:14, that last line, I will set him on high because he has known my name. The final example is probably my favorite, looking at these different references this evening. Psalm 91, verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him, and I will honor him. In John chapter 11, many of us know this story, it's one of my favorite things to preach. Jesus talked about how the Father always heard his prayers. Listen to what the Lord said just before he raised Lazarus from the dead. Beginning in John 11, verse 39, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God." Move to verse 42. "And I knew that thou hearest my always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when thus he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go." That is the God that we serve. In verse 15, just as John 11, beginning in 39 through 44, the cries of the people were, "Hey, raise our brother." And Jesus said, "You must believe. And if you believe, I'm going to show you the glory of God." That is the God that we serve. The peace that we have is found in the glory of who our God is. Lastly, verses 14 through 16 is the love for God which leads to a satisfied life. The love for God which leads to a satisfied life. Verse 14. "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." The Lord spoke and announced what he would do for those of his people who truly loved him and acknowledged him by living an obedient life. The word translated love is not the usual word, but one that means to cling to cleave, or to be passionate. It's used in Deuteronomy 7 and Deuteronomy 15, which discusses the love that Jehovah God has for his people. Among his blessings will be deliverance and protection and to set him on high, answered prayer, companionship in time of trouble, honor, satisfaction, and the long life. The salvation mentioned at the end of the psalm to many may mean help and deliverance during life, as in other places throughout Psalm 50, 23 being one. Or the joy of beholding the glory of God after a long and satisfied life. To the Jewish people, it's much like many of you probably, living a long life and seeing one's children and grandchildren or maybe great-grandchildren would ultimately be a blessing for your life, and you would consider that a good life. It's kind of like Abraham. They wanted to die in the good old age in the phrase of full of years in Genesis 25, which simply means a fulfilled life. It's one thing to add, it's one thing for doctors to add years to our life, but God adds life to our years and makes that life worthwhile. Listen to that for just a moment. It is one thing for doctors to add years to our life, but God adds life to our years and makes that life worthwhile. The last phrase I want you to think about this evening is simply this: when you seek the Lord, he will put you in the best place possible. The best place possible to ever be is in a place with the Most High God. We may not understand what's going to take place in the days and the weeks and the months and maybe in the years to come, but I want you to rest in knowing the truth found in Psalm 91, that the greatest place that we can be, regardless of what society tells us, is in the place of the Most High God. And in the shadow is a perfect place to be if the shadow is the shadow of the Almighty. As we think about what's taking place in our world, the title of this message was simply, Faith Over Fear. May we be faithful to the calling. May we not allow fear to trump our lives and instill our joy, but may we allow our faith to allow our joy to come from Jesus, that Jesus will be honored and Jesus will be glorified in the days and weeks to come. God, thank you for faith. Thank you for allowing us to experience you through faith. God, may we allow our faith to drive us, God, to encourage us during this tough time. God, may we not succumb to fear and allow ourselves to be defeated in that regard. But God, may we stand strong and stand firm in the faithfulness of the calling that you have in our life. God, I thank you for the faith that we have to put our trust in you, to accept you as our Lord and Savior. God, I've said many times, we trust you for our salvation. But God, my prayer is this evening that we will continue to trust you for our everyday needs during these uncertain times. God, simply have thine own way. Even in these tough times, God, have thine own way. Just as Martha thought you showed up 4 days late, God, we know that you show up on time, every time, and we're thankful for you being who you are, the Almighty, the one supreme God, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.